Bismillah, wa salat wa salam ala Rasulillah wa ala ali wa man wala wa ba'd. This evening, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, this is going to be our 12th session reading from the sharh or explanation of al-aqidah al-wasitiyah by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah in the commentary of al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz rahimahullah. Before we begin with our topic for this evening, which is a continuation of the chapter that we began last week, quickly, let's review some of the points that we covered. The questions from the modified questionnaire study guide for lecture number 11. From the modified questionnaire study guide, I hope that you received the modified study guide. Just a small change in it. One of the questions that we didn't cover, because we didn't read the ayats related to al-istiwa, so that question was brought over to this week's questionnaire study guide for 12. So the first question mentioned, from the title of this chapter, lists 4 points that we should expect to find mentioned in this chapter. 4 points. Now, Amir.
Affirmation of Allah's uniqueness.
Affirmation of Allah's uniqueness, his tawheed, naam, wahdaniyah.
And negation of him having partners.
Negation of him having any partner, shariq.
Oh, and
anybody else? Somebody else, yeah, three, naam. He mentioned two.
Mention of his sifat.
Okay, mention of some of his sifat, naam. And the fourth one? What's the fourth matter? Yeah, Allah's ascension. And he mentioned of some of his sifat is one matter, and there were various sifat that were mentioned. And then the fourth matter is specifically the mention of Allah's ascension. Naam. The second question briefly discussed how Mujahid's tafsir of ayah, Suratul Baqarah, ayah 22, supports the first point mentioned in the title of this chapter. What's the first point mentioned in the title of this chapter? What is the first point? Okay, the ithbat, the affirmation of Allah's wahdaniyah, Allah's uniqueness, his oneness, his tawheed, naam. So what is it, what was mentioned by Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir in his tafsir from the statement of Mujahid that supports this first point mentioned in the title of the chapter? What did Mujahid say in the tafsir of this ayah, naam?
Do not worship other than Allah while you know that Allah is one.
Naam. That the meaning of do not make any andad for Allah while you know it means, while you know that Allah is ilahun wahid, while you know that Allah is one ilah. Naam. The third question, memorize an ayah which clearly mentions that Allah does not have a sharik, a partner. Two ayahs were mentioned specifically, the 17th surah, 111th ayah, 25th surah, 2nd ayah. And the point, of the questions that require memorization is that we force ourselves to memorize some of the very, very important evidences concerning the topic under discussion. Somebody memorize one of those ayats. We have a lot of people here memorizing the Quran. Mashallah. Now, the question, memorize an ayah which clearly mentions that Allah does not have a sharik, a partner. Sheikh mentioned two ayahs that clearly mention this. Either one of them. Memorize. One of them is from Suratul, 17th Surah, 111th ayah. The other one is from Suratul Furqan, 25th Surah, 2nd ayah. Does anybody know it even in English? We have to memorize. Especially when we have young people, mashallah, who are constantly supposed to be engaged in memorization. In any case, the ayats that the Shaykh mentioned are various. From amongst them were two ayats, which we alluded to here in the question, that mention sharik. One of them is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. Praise be to Allah, the one who didn't take a son. And he didn't, and there is no sharik for him in the dominion, in the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. Question number four, what is the intended meaning of do not attribute to Allah equals while you know? Yani, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. What is the intended meaning according to the Shari, according to the explainer of the text of the Hadith? Yani the Shari, the explainer of the text of the Hadith is who? Who is the Shari? Who is explaining this book? Huh? Okay. Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he's explaining the book. So, what is the intended meaning of do not attribute to Allah equals? Yani, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. While you know. What did he say is intended by this? Now.
Do not take anything as something to be worshipped with him, whether that is the prophets, the jinn, or those in their graves.
Now, do not, yani, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. He said it means do not, yani, take anything to be worshipped as ma'budat. Do not set up anything, yani, to be worshipped along with Allah, whether it is from those people who are buried in the graves, the so-called, yani, awliya of Allah, yani, people who they claim were awliya of Allah and they worship them in the graves, calling on them, supplicating to them, or whether it is taking angels, or taking jinn, or trees, or stones, or whatever. Yani, do not take anything to be worshipped, yani, along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fifth question, the Shari explainer of the text says, thus it is obligatory upon everyone to do what? And he mentions 4 points. What is obligatory upon us from what we read in this topic now? To worship Allah alone, one. And to declare ourselves free of, yani, to distance ourselves and free ourselves from anything that's set up as a rival to Allah. And the third thing? Naam.
To know with certainty,
to be sure, with certainty, yaqeenan, that there is, yani, nothing equal to him. And the fourth point? And ya'taqidu that. Yani, that a person actually holds firm conviction in their heart concerning this fact, that Allah doesn't have any equal or partner or rival or anyone that is similar to him. Question number six, the last question, what is meant by he has no need of a protector out of weakness? Yani, that's mentioned in 17th Surah, 111th Ayah, according to the Sharia. Yani, what does he say, what is the intended meaning of, yani, this saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الظُّلِّ. What does that mean? What does he say that means? Now, you can start, and maybe somebody can help us, inshallah. Fadl.
Rather, he brings them close to him and loves them because of their obedience to him and following his sharia.
So, yani, Allah does have awliya, but they are not awliya, yani, they are not, for example, someone or something that Allah takes out of need due to weakness or need of them. Rather, he has awliya who he loves them, and they love him due to their obedience to him. Due to their obedience to him, Allah brings them near to him as his awliya, yani, because he loves them and they love him. Why does he love them? Due to their obedience to him and due to them following that which has been legislated by his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and due to them exalting and magnifying his commands and so on. There's one other point that the Shaykh mentioned, very important, that, yani, should be included in this explanation of Allah has not taken a wali, yani, out of dhul. He said also that is because Allah is al-ghani. He doesn't have any need. He's aziz, he's al-qahir, he's al-ghalib. He doesn't have any need for anyone or anything. So there's no need for him to take anyone, yani, as a protector or helper or supporter or anyone to help him or aid him in any way. So these are some of the points that we covered last week. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we want to read the ayat related to al-istiwa that we didn't read last week from the first page of this chapter, which is page 39. The ayat begin on the bottom of the page and continue on the top of page 40. And then after that, we want to read the commentary of Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz, and we're going to add to it a couple of other points if Allah allows us, yani, to have the time to do so. I would also like to just quote briefly, yani, to summarize in a brief and clear manner the issue that we're talking about tonight from the first ayah that came of the seven ayahs that mention al-istiwa, what al-Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah says in his tafsir of that first ayah. And perhaps if there's some time, there's a couple of other points that are not mentioned in our sharh, from the sharh of Sheikh Sari al-Fawzan hafizahullah, that may be of benefit to us if we yani have time, to concerning the refutation of those who claim a different meaning. Naam, in English? So in English, we're going to read the ayat from the first page of the chapter, which is on page 67. Page 67. We're just going to read the ayat. Oh, I don't know if it's on page 67. That chapter begins on page 67. And the ayat, yani that's related to istiwa, I don't know, I'm not sure what page they're on. Let me just see. I didn't write it down. Let's see. Okay, so now, it seems like the ayat of istiwa begin on the bottom of page 69. And his statement, Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istiwa. And then they continue on page 70 and 71. Now, 69, 70 and 71. We're going to read those ayats. And then we're going to go to the explanation of those ayat, yani where Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimahullah begins to talk about those ayat. That's on page 76. On the bottom half of page 76, we're going to read from that sharh. Okay, so first we're going to look at the ayat that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentions concerning al-istiwa. And I want to just comment very, very briefly to mention that any due to the length of the number of ayat that he mentioned and due to the yani the discussion concerning those ayat, the number of pages I felt was a bit much to cover in one session, and I didn't want to rush through it, and that's why we only covered half of this chapter last week. And I stopped at the place where he begins to mention the ayat of istiwa so that we can cover that as a separate subject, because we couldn't cover it all in one session, and also because of the importance of those ayat and this particular topic. So we're going to look at the ayat that he mentions, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, yani from the beginning of the chapter, the final ayats that he mentioned. The first of them is the saying of Allah the Most High, Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa, from Surah Taha, yani 20th Surah, 5th ayat, yani that Allah Ar-Rahman has ascended up and above, high above the Arsh. The Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, fi sab'ati mawadi', yani that this ascension of Allah above the Arsh is mentioned in seven different places in the Quran. Fi Surah Al-A'raf, and the first place where it's mentioned is in Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th Surah, 54th ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna rabbakumullah alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal ard fi sittati ayamin thumma istawa ala al-arsh. Yani that indeed your Rabb is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then thumma istawa ala al-arsh, and then after the creation of the heavens and earth, then he ascended above, he rose above and established himself above the Arsh. The second ayat, which is identical in wording to the first ayat, came in Surah Yunus, 10th Surah, 3rd ayat. The same wording came in Surah Yunus, the saying of yani alayhi salam, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna rabbukumullah alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal ard fi sittati ayamin thumma istawa ala al-arsh, that indeed your Rabb is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then he ascended above the Arsh, above the throne. The third ayat has some wording in it that's a little different than the first two and the rest of the ayat, and that is from Surah Ra'ad, 13th Surah, 2nd ayat. Allah alladhi rafa'a as-samawati bighayri 'amadin tarawnaha ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ. Yani the same wording came in the end of the ayat, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ, then he ascended above the throne. But the first part of this ayat is a little bit different. Allah is the one who raised up high the heavens without any pillars, yani that you can see, without any pillars holding it up that you can see. And the scholars have more than one opinion concerning this statement. One of those opinions is the clear meaning of the ayat, which is probably the correct meaning, and that is that Allah raised up the heavens very high above the earth without any pillars. Yani there's nothing holding it up except Allah, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he ascended above the arsh. The fourth ayah is in Surah Taha that we already mentioned, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman ala al-arsh istawa. Yani also the wording came here, his, yani the istiwa, yani ala al-arsh. The Ar-Rahman, he ascended above the arsh. The fifth ayat is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Furqan, 25th surah, 59th ayat, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ, and then he ascended above the arsh. And the sixth ayat is from Surah Sajda, 32nd surah, 4th ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ. And here also this ayah came with wording that's understood maybe from the other ayat but not mentioned specifically, and that is Allah is the one who created the heavens and the earth, and whatever is between them, whatever is between the heavens and the earth, in 6 days, and then after the creation of the heavens and earth and whatever is between them, then he ascended above the arsh. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ. And the seventh ayat is in Surah Al-Hadid, 57th surah, 4th ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على الأرش. يعني, he is the one who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then he ascended above the arsh. And in the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir, he mentions that those 6 days are Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And on Friday, all of the creation was gathered together, and Adam alayhi salam was created on Friday, the day of Jumu'ah. Okay, so these are the ayat that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned concerning the istiwa of Allah, and yani it is important for us to consider that he has mentioned every single one of these ayat. He mentioned every single place in the Quran where this is specifically mentioned, and there's some reasoning for that, many reasons for that, Allah knows best, but from amongst them, any of the multiple places in which Allah mentions this wording is a clear indication of the importance of the matter, that Allah repeated it again and again and again in the same wording. Istiwa ala al-arsh, thumma istiwa ala al-arsh. As far as the commentary of the Shaykh, we're going to come to it in a moment, but before that I just want to summarize the topic with the words of Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir rahimahullah in his tafsir of the first ayah from Surah Al-A'raf. He mentions in his tafsir a beautiful summary of the topic, and some of this will be mentioned in the commentary that we're going to read today, and some of it may not be mentioned, but I think that the summary of it, starting with that, so that we have a complete picture, as we go through, we already have a picture of exactly what we're really looking at and the importance of the matter. And from the importance of the matter, we will see is that this is a matter of aqidah of the utmost importance, and our aqidah is so important that a person's wrong aqidah could be a reason for them to go out of Islam. And a person not having correct aqidah could be a cause for them to go out of the circle of Islam, and to not be a Muslim. Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir, and normally I will read from the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman Sa'adi, but this, the way he wrote this here was so yani beautiful that I felt like I'll go with this one. He says, as far as the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he talks about the beginning of the ayat, but we want to just get right to the point for the sake of time. He says, as far as the saying of Allah the Most High, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ, then he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ascended, rose high above, and established himself above the throne. He said that the people, وَلِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْمَقَامِ مَقَالَتْ كَثِيرَةٌ جِدًّا, yani that the people, meaning the people who yani talk about Islam, the people of knowledge, in concerning this matter, they have many sayings, yani كَثِيرَ جِدًّا, very many sayings, opinions about this. لَيْسَ هَذَا مَوْضِعَ بَصْتِهَا, but this is not the place where we're going to go into the details of it. So this is important. He intends to summarize the matter. What is the correct view that we should have concerning this matter? In just a few words from a scholar that pretty much the Muslims in the world look to as a authority on the Quran and on Islam and on the Sunnah. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he says that the people have many opinions about this. This is not the place to mention the details. وَإِنَّمَا يُسْلَكُ فِي هَذَا الْمَقَامِ مَذْهَبُ السَّلَفِ الصَّالِحِ Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he says, but rather the path that we should take in this situation, in this matter, is the madhab of as-salaf as-salih. And if anybody has read the tafsir of Ibn Kathir a lot, you will see that this expression, as-salaf as-salih, is not something that the people made up in America 25 or 30 years ago. Rather, this is an expression that's well known from the people of Sunnah to refer back to the first generations of the people who followed the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in the way of his companions. The Salaf as-Salih, the righteous predecessors. He said, what we're going to do here is we're going to look at the madhab. What was the position of the Salaf as-Salih, the righteous predecessors of this ummah? And then he mentions, from amongst the righteous predecessors, Malik, Imam Malik, Al-Awza'i, Al-Thawri, Al-Layth ibn Sa'd, Al-Shafi'i, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Ishaq ibn Rahaway, وَغَيْرُهُمْ مِنْ أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ قَدِيمًا وَحَدِيثًا. This statement right here, if a person examines it carefully, like he's saying that this is the madhab of the Salaf al-Salih. Who are we talking about? The Imams of the Muslims, past and present. And before his time and in his time. And he names some of them, Imam Malik, Imam al-Awza'i, Imam al-Thawri, Sufyan al-Thawri, Al-Layth ibn Sa'd, Al-Shafi'i, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Ishaq ibn Rahaway. All of these scholars are of the highest degree. The highest level of scholarship in the history of Islam is in the likes of these scholars. Every single one of them is a leading scholar in Islam in their time. He says, these are the imams of the Muslims. قَدِيمًا وَحَدِيثًا. This is their madhab. وَهُوَ إِمْرَارُهَا كَمَا جَاءَتْ مِنْ غَيْرِ التَّكْيِيفِ وَلَا تَشْبِيحِ وَلَا تَعْتِيلُ. He said, it is that we take it just as it came. The text as it came in the Quran. We take it just as it came in the Quran without explaining how it is. Trying to give details to it that we don't know about. Without making any tashbih, resemblance of Allah to anything in the creation, or the qualities or characteristics of Allah, making any resemblance between them and the qualities or characteristics of the creation. وَلَا تَعْتِيلُ. And without denying their meanings. Emptying these qualities or characteristics as they came in the Quran from their meaning, negating their meaning. Then he says, وَالظَّاهِرُ الْمُتَبَادَرُ إِلَىٰ أَذْهَانَ الْمُشَبِّهِينَ مَنْفِيٌ عَنِ اللَّهِ. الظاهر المتبادر 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 إلى أذهان المشبهين. That which may come to the minds of the people who make tashbih, making any resemblance between Allah and anything in the creation, is rejected, is negated. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُشْبِهُهُ شَيْءٌ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. Because there's nothing in the created beings of Allah that resemble Allah in any way whatsoever. And then he mentions the ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And there is nothing like unto him, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing, from Surah Ash-Shura, 11th ayah. And then he says, in this statement here, perhaps if a person didn't hear before, they need to pay attention carefully to what he says here. Bal al-amr. There's no tashbih between anything in the creation of Allah. So when we're talking about al-istiwa, Allah ascending, it's not like anything that resembles the ascension of created beings. He said, بَلْ الْأَمْرَ كَمَا قَالَ الْأَئِمَّةِ مِنْهُمْ نُعِيمِ إِبْنِ حَمَّادِ الْخُزَاعِي شَيْخُ الْبُخَارِي. He said, rather, the affair is as was said by the imams of the Muslims, the imams of the people of Sunnah. And from amongst them, the imams, is نُعِيمِ إِبْنِ حَمَّادِ الْخُزَاعِي, the Shaykh of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. What did Nu'aym say? He said, مَنْ شَبَّحَ اللَّهَ بِخَلْقِهِ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. Whoever resembles Allah to his creation, he has gone out of Islam. This person is a kafir. وَمَنْ جَهَدَ مَا وَصَفَ اللَّهُ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. And whoever denies what Allah has described Himself with. Allah has described Himself with something, and a person denies it. He said, this person has gone out of Islam. And this shows this statement of Nu'aym ibn Hammad, the Shaykh of Bukhari. And he said, this is the position of the imams of the people of Sunnah. He's one of the imams, the Shaykh of Bukhari. And he said in crystal clear language, the people who resemble or make resemblance between Allah and His creation, that they have gone out of Islam. And the people who deny what Allah has described Himself with have also gone out of Islam. And the Shaykh in his explanation of our topic tonight is going to mention this idea about this, the people who negate what Allah has described Himself with and the people who make resemblance between Allah and anything in the creation, in its qualities or descriptions or characteristics. لَيْسَ فِي مَا وَصَفَ اللَّهُ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ وَلَا رَسُولُهُ تَشْبِيهٌ. Because there's nothing in what Allah has described Himself with or what His Messenger has described Him with, there's no resemblance between Allah and anything in the creation. And what Allah has described Himself with, or the Messenger, His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have described Him with, there's no tashbih. فَمَنْ أَثْبَتَ. And this is the closing of what يعني Ibn Kathir mentions. He says, فَمَنْ أَثْبَتَ لِلَّهِ مَا وَرَدَ بِهِ الْآيَاتِ الصَّرِيحَةِ وَالْأَخْبَارِ الصَّحِيحَةِ عَلَى الْوَجْءَ الَّذِي يَلِيقُ بِجَلَالِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَنَفَى عَنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى النَّقَائِصِ فَقَدْ سَلَكَ سَبِيلَ الْهُدَى. Yani whoever affirms for Allah the Most High what has been mentioned to us in the clear ayat of the Quran, and the akhbar sahiha, and the authentic narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever affirms what came in clear ayat in the Quran and authentic narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a way that is befitting of the majesty of Allah the Most High, and whoever has negated from Allah any defects or deficiencies, then this person has traveled the path of right guidance. So this summary of Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir is sufficient, yani for our topic, it's sufficient. And we hope that inshallah what we will read tonight will be just extra upon that, yani what Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir rahimahullah has mentioned. So as far as the ayat and the discussion of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah, we are reading in Arabic from the beginning of the discussion concerning the ayat of Al-Istiwa on page 42 near the top of the page, where he says, the Shaykh says in his commentary, وَهُوَ أَيْضًا مَوْصُوف بِالْإِسْتِوَى فَوْقَ الْأَرْشِ فِي سَبْعَ مَوَاضِعْ فِي سُرَةُ طَهَا وَسُرَةُ الْعَرَافِ وَسُرَةُ يُونَسِ وَسُرَةُ الرَّعَدِ وسورة الإسراء وسورة اللقمان وسورة التنزيل السجدة وسورة الحديد كلها ثابتة يعني لله. So Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, from the previous reading from last week, we know that we have discussed some of the sifat of Allah. Remember the title of this chapter was the mention of some of the sifat of Allah, and specifically the mention of this particular quality, al-istiwa. So in the previous reading that we had from the previous session, we mentioned, the Shaykh mentioned some of the sifat of Allah that were mentioned in the ayats before these ayat. And then he says, in addition to those sifat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also mawsuf bil istiwa. And he's also described with another quality or characteristic, that is his ascending focal arsh, above the arsh in seven places. And he mentions the surahs in which they are mentioned, and he said, كلها ثابتة. كلها ثابتة meaning all of these sifat that were mentioned previously and this sifa of al-istiwa, all of them are affirmed for Allah. The translator here says that these ayat affirm his ascendancy. The meaning is that this sifa as well as the ones mentioned before all affirm for Allah. That's how it should read. Yani that all of them, meaning all of these qualities that were mentioned previous and al-istiwa, all of them are thabitatun, yani confirmed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he talks about the meaning of istiwa and the meaning of Allah's ascending above the throne. He says, وَمَعْنَا الْإِسْتِوَى الْعُلُوْ وَالْفَوْقِيَّةِ. That al-istiwa, linguistically, it means al-ulu, highness. And al-fawqiyah, being above. That Allah is high and He is above the arsh. وَمَعْنَا إِسْتِوَى عَلَيْهِ يعني إِسْتَوَى عَلَيْهِ meaning إِسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ. The meaning of it is A. إِرْتَفَعَ فَوْقَ الْأَرْشِ وَعَلَى عَلَيْهِ. That He rose up above the arsh and He was high above it. That He rose up يعني إِرْتَفَعَ فَوْقَ الْأَرْشِ وَعَلَى عَلَيْهِ. And He was high above it. And we will see that these two meanings, al-irtifa and al-ulu, are from amongst the four meanings that the Salaf included as possible meanings of al-istiwa. Two of them, al-irtifa and al-ulu. He says, وَهُوَ الْعَالِي فَوْقَ جَمِيعِ خَلْقِهِ. That Allah is high above all of His created beings. وَالْعَرْشِ سَقْفُ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ. And the arsh, he says, is the ceiling or the highest point of everything that's in the creation. The arsh is the saqf, is the ceiling, the highest part of everything in the creation. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen says in his explanation of Wasatiyah, which we know is quite lengthy, but from the points that he mentioned, he said al-arsh linguistically, Al-Imam al-Uthaymeen, he said, Al-Arsh linguistically means it is the throne of the king that is specifically for him. Yani the throne that is specifically for the king and the king alone. That's the linguistic meaning of Al-Arsh. But the shara'i meaning is, it is what Allah ascended over. Yani it is that created thing that Allah ascended over. That's what's meant in the sharia. When we mention the arsh, we mean that thing which Allah ascended over. Then the Shaykh says, so Wallahu subhanahu fawq al-arsh istawa. So Allah, the one free from all imperfections, He has ascended above the arsh. Istiwa'an yaliku bi jalalihi. Yani an ascension that is befitting of His majesty. Yani a person should understand it in a way that's befitting of the majesty, the greatness and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not in a way that we understand the ascension of any created being. But we should understand it in a way that's befitting, that's appropriate, that's suitable for Allah in His greatness and His majesty. La ya'lamu kayfiyatahu illa huwa subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one knows how, yani the details of how is Allah's ascension. Allah told us He ascended. He didn't tell us the details of that ascension. Like all of His sifat, He told us that He has described Himself with ar-Rahmah, He has described Himself with al-Ghadab, He has described Himself with ilm, but He didn't tell us any of the details of how those things are. So we know, we affirm these qualities for Allah without attempting to explain how they are. No one knows how they are except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh goes on to say, وَلِهَذَا لَمَّا سُئِلَ الْإِمَامِ مَالِكِ إِبْنِ أَنَسِ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ إِمَامُ دَارُ الْحِجْرَةِ فِي زَمَانِهِ وَأَحَدْ الْأَئِمَّ الْأَرْبَعَ قِيلَ لَهُ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنَ عَلَى الْأَرْشِ إِسْتَوَى كَيْفَ الْإِسْتَوَى. So when it was said to Imam Malik ibn Anas rahimahullah, the Imam of Dar al-Hijrah in his time. Dar al-Hijrah meaning what? The Imam of Dar al-Hijrah, huh? Yes, Medina, naam. Yeah, I think in the translation he just said Imam of Dar al-Hijrah. So maybe everybody knows what's Dar al-Hijrah. Maybe people don't know what Dar al-Hijrah refers to, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Medina. So Imam Malik was the Imam of the people of Medina during his lifetime. He was the Imam of the people of Medina, and he's one of the four Imams. Al-Imma al-Arba refers to, first and foremost, question. Al-Imam, first and foremost, Al-Imam Abu Hanifa. In terms of time, Imam Abu Hanifa died in the year 150. So he's the first of the four Imams when we use this expression, the four Imams. Not not meaning that there are no other imams before them or after them, but yani, because we see that Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentioned Al-Imam Al-Awza'i and Imam Layth ibn Sa'd and others, Ishaq ibn Rahway, he mentioned other imams who are equal to the four imams. But in any case, here the expression four imams is referring to, first and foremost, Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, and secondly, who's the second imam who died in the year 179? Al-Imam Malik. And the third imam, Al-Shafi, died in the year 204. And the last of the four imams is the imam who died in the year 241, Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. This is what we mean when we refer to the four imams. Otherwise, there are imams equal to them, before them, and during their time, and after them. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa died in the year 150. And 29 years later, died Al-Imam Malik in the year what? 179. And less than 30 years later, died Al-Imam Shafi in the year 204. And almost 40 years later, Imam Ahmad in the year 241. The four imams. Yani he was the imam of Darul Hijra in his time, and he was one of the four imams. And when it was said to him, Ya Aba Abdullah, Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa, yani Ar-Rahman ascended above the throne, Kaifa istawa. Yani how was it that he ascended? How was his ascending? Describe it to us. It's kayfiyya. Yani how, what does it look like? How can we describe it? فَأَظَّمَ الْعَمْرَ وَأَلَّتْهُ الرَّخْصَى يَعْنِي الْعَرَقْ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْإِسْتِغْرَابِ هَذَا السُّؤَالِ. يعني الإمام مالك رحمه الله considered this to be a big affair, that a person is asking how was Allah's ascension. He said that he began, and some of the narration said he put his head down and he began to sweat profusely due to the shiddatul istighrab hadha su'al, yani the severity of the strangeness of this question. Yani nobody has asked this question before. From where did he come with this? Imam Malik rahimahullah then said, al istiwa'u ma'lum, ay annahu al-'ulu wal-irtifa, that istiwa is known, that is, it is al-'ulu, highness, and irtifa, yani rising up. Wal-kayf majhul, and the how of it, its detailed description, is not known, is unknown. Wal-iman bihi wajib, and believing it is obligatory upon us. Was-su'al anhu bid'ah, and questioning, asking about how is Allah's istiwa, is innovation. Yani it's something new that nobody from amongst the companions of the Prophet ﷺ or the people who came after them, the tabi'un or the people who came after them, nobody asked such a question before. Imam Malik said, وَمَا عَرَكَ إِلَّا رَجُلَ سُوءٍ ثُمَّ أَمْرَ بِإِخْرَاجِهِ. He said, I don't see you except that you are a man of evil. And then he ordered that man be removed from the majlis. Here I just want to make a quick note that, remember in a previous session some weeks ago, maybe I don't know how long ago, we mentioned a variant narration of the statement of Imam Malik, when it's reported Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen mentions in his explanation of Wasatiyah and in other places that it has also been authentically reported that the wording of this statement of Imam Malik is Al-Istiwa, instead of Ma'alum, Al-Istiwa Ghayru Majhul. It's not unknown. Meaning is the same. But the second part, Wal Kayf Ghayru Ma'aqul. This here, Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen says, this wording is more specific and more daqiq and a better expression of the meaning of what is intended here. That the how of it is not just unknown, it's Ghayru Ma'aqul. It can't be known. The human intellect is not capable of comprehending the how of Allah's ascension. So this wording is a very important wording, because it brings a meaning, a deeper meaning, that the how is not just majhul, unknown, it's ghayru ma'aqul. The human being can't know it. The human being is not capable by the aql, by the intellect, of comprehending the how of Allah's sifat. Well, iman bihi wajib, believing in it is obligatory, and asking about it is innovation. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen also in his explanation, and in his brief notes concerning the explanation of wasatiyah, he mentioned that it has come from the Salaf that the interpretation of al-istiwa, he mentioned three meanings. Al-ulu, highness, al-irtifa, rising, which we mentioned, those two, and as-su'ud, the ascending, and as-su'ud, as to ascend, to climb up, to go up. He said the meaning of rising and ascent, the meaning of irtifa and su'ud, go back to the first meaning, al-ulu, highness. Yani that they all have basically the same meaning. So I just wanted to mention that because we will see that yani sometimes some of the scholars mention one of those meanings or another one, and all of them pretty much go back to the same meaning, that is Allah being high above the throne. He said, Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, he said, so this is the narration of Imam Malik of a person asking about the quality of Allah, the sifa of Allah, al-istiwa, and mentioning that the istiwa is not unknown, or it is known, but the how of it is what is not known and not possible to be known by the intellect of the human being. He said, هَكَذَا قَالَ, yani this is what he said, this is how he said it, وَبِهَذَا الْمَعْنَى, هَكَذَا قَالَ, بِهَذَا الْمَعْنَى, I'm sorry, هَكَذَا قَالَ, بِهَذَا الْمَعْنَى, سُفْيَان الثَّوْرِي, وَالْأَوْزَاعِي, وَالْإِمَام أَحْمَد, وَالْإِمَام الشَّافِعِي, وَإِسْحَاقِ بْنُ رَاحُوَي, وَغَيْرُهُمْ مِنْ أَئِمَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Yani, Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz is saying this same meaning that's represented in this statement from Imam Malik was the same thing was said by the Imams of the people of the Sunnah, Sufyan al-Thawri, al-Awza'i, al-Imam Ahmad, al-Imam al-Shafi'i, al-Imam Ishaq al-Rahway, and others from amongst the Imams of Islam. Then he says, al-Bab wahid. What is the meaning of al-Bab wahid? We had this expression come two or three times before. What does he mean when he says al-bab wahid? Does anybody remember? Naam, Amir. He's talking about the sifat. Yani what he's saying here about al-istiwa, he's saying that al-bab wahid.
That they're not figurative.
Okay, the point is, naam. Yeah, that they're not figurative, huh? There's one way. Al-Bab Wahid means there's one way, there's one path, there's one manhaj in the way we look at the sifat of Allah. Just like what he said about al-Istiwa, naam, that it's not figurative, it's real, it's not, there's no comparison, all of that, Al-Bab Wahid. Just like what he said about al-Istiwa Imam Malik, the Imam said the same thing about the other sifat of Allah. Al-Istiwa Ma'alum. And here he begins to explain a little bit, very, very briefly, the statement of Imam Malik. What is the meaning of these four sentences? Al-istiwa ma'alum. He said this means ma'alum min jihatil ma'ana. Yani, it's ma'alum meaning its meaning is known. Yani, in the Arabic language. The meaning of istiwa in the Arabic language is known. It is al-ulu wal-irtifa. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen added to that from the sayings of the Salaf, as-su'ud. Yani, climbing up, going up. And some of them even said al-istiqrar, yani to be established. To be established, yani above the throne, to be settled above the throne. He said al-istiwa ma'lum, meaning from the perspective of its meaning, its linguistic meaning, it is known. It is highness, al-ulu and irtifa, rising up high. Wal-kayf majhul. He says the meaning of al-kayf majhul, the how of it is unknown, meaning, لا يعلم كيف استوى إلا هو سبحانه وتعالى. That nobody knows how he ascended except himself. So it's not known to anyone else. It's majhul, not known. It's not known to anyone except Allah subhanahu وتعالى. والإيمان بذلك واجب. And believing it is obligatory. He said, والإيمان بذلك واجب علينا. The meaning here that believing is obligatory upon us, لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ أَخْبَرْ بِهِ أَنْ نَفْسِهِ, because Allah has informed us about it, has informed us about Himself. He has informed us. Then how could we not believe in it? That's the meaning, الْإِيمَانُ بِهِ wajib. It's obligatory for us to believe in it because Allah is the one who told us. Because Allah is the one who told us about Himself. وَالسُّؤَالُ عَنَ الْكَيْفِيَّةِ بِدْعَةٍ, and asking about, you know, asking about it is bid'ah, meaning asking about the how, the details of how is Allah's istiwa. This is innovation. أَحْدَثَهَا الْمُتَكَلِّمُونَ مِنَ الْجَهْمِيَةِ وَالْمُعْتَزِلَةِ وَغَيْرِهِمْ, that this is something that was later on, newly invented by the mutakallimun, from amongst the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila. From the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila. Yani the people of rhetoric who just yani talk a lot and they're saying nothing from the basis of Quran and Sunnah. They invented this later on. Yani nobody from amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in said anything like this. Nobody from amongst the Tabi'un or the Atba' Tabi'in, but these people came later on and invented something new, and that's what he means by yani this asking about the how of it is bid'ah. Then he says, وَهَكَذَا يُقَالُ فِي بَقِيَةِ الصِّفَاتِ. So this is the same thing that would be said about the rest of the sifat. The what was said about al-istiwa is what we say about the other qualities or characteristics or descriptions of Allah. We say the same thing. Ar-Rahma Ma'aluma. Yani the mercy of Allah is known. Yani what is mercy? Linguistically in Arabic language. Wa-Ridha Ma'alum. And Allah's pleasure is known. Wal-Ghadab. Yani anger is Ma'alum. It's known. Wal-Qudra. Al-Qudra Ma'aluma. Yani power or ability is known. Al-Yad Ma'aluma. The hand. Yani the linguistically in the Arabic language, hand is known. وَالْقَدَمْ مَعْلُومَ, and foot in the Arabic language is known. So the all of the sifat of Allah, their linguistic meanings in the Arabic language are known. They are known. وَلَكِنَ الْكَيْفِ مَجْهُولِ, but the how of them, the detailed explanation of how they are in reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is majhul, is unknown, is غَيْرُ مَعْقُولِ. It's not possible to be comprehended by the intellect of the created being. فَلَا نَعْلَمُ كَيْفَ رَحْمَتِهِ. So we don't know how is Allah's rahmah, وَلَا كَيْفَ غَضْبِهِ, or how is His anger, وَلَا كَيْفَ يَدِهِ, or how is His hand, وَلَا كَيْفَ قَدَمِهِ, or how is His foot, وَلَا كَيْفَ عَيْنِهِ, or how is His eye. لَا نَعْلَمُ الْكَيْفِيَاتِ وَلَا نَخُوضُ فِيهَا نُثْبِتُهَا وَنَمُرُّهَا كَمَا جَاءَتْ. Yani we don't know the how of these things, and we don't delve deeply into them. We don't try to yani figure it out, like going into it. Rather, we pass over it, yani its apparent meaning, just as it came in the text. نَقُولُ إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ. We say that He is the one who hears, and He is the one who sees. وَأَنَّ لَهُ يَدَيْنٌ, and that He has two hands. And just like it came in the text, we leave it just like that, and we don't try to give some interpretation to that which we don't know. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran concerning His two hands, Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th surah, 64th ayat, Bal yadahu mabsutatan. His two hands, rather His two hands are yani stretched out. وَمَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ. And what is it that prevented you from prostrating to the one that I've created with my two hands? In Surah As-Sad, 75th ayat. وفي الحديث الصحيح, and in the authentic hadith, and he reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, from Abu Huraira and from Anas ibn Malik, رضي الله عنهم, he says that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن الله تبارك وتعالى يضع قدمه في النار, that Allah the Blessed and the Most High would put His foot in the fire, put His foot into the fire. فَيَنْزَوِي بَعْدُهَا إِلَى بَعْدٍ. So some parts of the fire would be, yani, would come close, yani, would be smashed or squashed up, yani, close to one another. فَتَقُولُ قَطْ قَطْ. And then the fire would say, enough, enough. Yani no more people can fit in to this fire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the Shaykh is saying, فَبَيَّنَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made clear, أَنَّهُ يَغْضَبْ عَلَى مَنْ أَصَاهُ, yani that he is angry with those who disobey him. وَيَرْضَى عَلَى مَنْ أَطَاعَهُ, and he is pleased with those who are obedient to him. يَرْحَمْ عِبَادَهُ, he is merciful to his worshippers. كُلُّ هَذِهِ مِنْ صِفَاتِهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى, all of these are from his sifat, his qualities, characteristics, or descriptions that are confirmed in the textual evidences, in the revelation, in the Quran, in the authentic sunnah. Then the Shaykh says, yani the hadith that was mentioned previously, يَضْحَقُ اللَّهُ إِلَى رَجُلَيْنِ يَقْتُلُ أَحَدُهُمَا الْآخَرَ, that Allah laughs concerning two men, one of them kill the other, to the end of the hadith which we mentioned previously, and both of them would end up in the Jannah. فَضَحَقُهُ وَرُضَاهُ وَغَضَبُهُ وَسَمْعُهُ وَبَصَرُهُ وَسَائِرِ صِفَاتِهِ كلها تليق به لا يشبه خلقه في شيء من ذلك. So Allah is laughing and his being pleased and his anger and his hearing and his seeing and the remaining of his qualities or characteristics, his sifat, all of them should be understood in a way that is suitable, that is befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah, he doesn't resemble his creation in any of that. There's no resemblance between the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the qualities of anything in the creation. The rule here, the qaida is, he came in Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 11th ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, that there's nothing like him and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is negating any resemblance or similarity or equality to him and anything in the creation, while at the same time affirming that he has qualities and characteristics like hearing and seeing, just as the creatures have names of, yani have qualities and characteristics that have the same name, but they are not, yani the same, they are not equal, they don't resemble the qualities and characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that bear the same name. That's our rule, that we negate there being any resemblance or similarity while affirming what Allah has affirmed for himself and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has affirmed for him. Then the Shaykh, he says, and this is the closing point that the Shaykh makes, he says, فَأَهْلُ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ يُثْبِتُونَ آيَاتَ الصِّفَاتِ وَأَحَدِيثَ الصِّفَاتِ إِثْبَاتًا بِلَا تَمْثِيلٍ, that the Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah affirm the ayat containing the sifat, the qualities and characteristics of Allah. And they affirm the ahadith, the authentic hadith, that contain the qualities and characteristics of Allah. They affirm them, ithbatan bila tamthil, yani an affirmation that does not include a tamthil, yani that does not include making any similarity or resemblance or similitude between the sifat of Allah and the sifat of the created beings. So there's affirmation without tamthil or without tashbih. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said that tamthil and tashbih are similar in meaning, and sometimes the scholars use them interchangeably. However, since Allah used the word in the ayat laysa kamithlihi shay'un, he said this is closer to the revelation, tamthil. And he also said that if there's a difference between tashbih and tamthil, it is that tamthil means that two things. The example is made between something in reference to Allah and anything in the creation. It means those two things are equal in every quality or characteristic. While tashbih means that they're equal in most of their qualities or characteristics. In any case, they are generally used interchangeably. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says that it is better though to use the word at-tamthil than at-tashbih. Both of them are negated. So there's affirmation without tamthil. Then he said, the Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah yunazzihun Allah az jalla wa ala an mushabahati khalqihi tanzihan bila ta'atil. And the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah also يعني declare Allah to be free from any resemblance to His creation. A declaration of Allah being free that is without ta'atil. Yani declaring, negating resemblance between Allah and the creation without negating Allah's sifa. Without negating Allah's sifat. Yani negating resemblance without going to the extreme of negating the qualities and characteristics themselves that Allah has affirmed for Himself. So these are two things that are very, very important. The manhaj of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah is affirming the ayat and the hadith of sifat of Allah. An affirmation that does not include the error or the mistake of tamthil, making examples or comparisons or similarities between Allah and the creation. And they also negate from Allah any resemblance to the creation, negating resemblance but without negating the sifat themselves. So there's tanzihan, yani ma huwa al-ithbat. So there's the negation of resemblance, but at the same time there's the affirmation of what Allah has affirmed for Himself, or what the Prophet ﷺ has affirmed for Himself. He said, this is bi khilaf ahlul bid'ah, this is contrary to the people of bid'ah. Fa ahlul bid'ah qisman akharan, yani the ahlul bid'ah are two other, are divided into two divisions. The ahlul bid'ah, he said, qismun athbatu wa mathalu. Yani one group of the Ahl Bidah went to one extreme. They affirmed for Allah what He affirmed for Himself, but making examples between what they affirmed and the similar characteristics in the created beings. They affirmed, but with tamthil. And the other group, he said, قسم نفعوا وعتلوا. They negated the resemblance, but then they went too far with it, and they negated Allah's sifat outright. They said Allah can't resemble anything in the creation, so they just negated the sifat that Allah has affirmed for Himself. These are two deviations, two extremes. Those who affirm but make tamthil, and those who negate resemblance, going to the extreme of negating Allah's sifat outright. He says, Ahl Sunnah bura'a min ha'ulai. The people of Sunnah are free or innocent of these people, وَهَاُولَيْ, yani those who, yani went to the extreme of تَمْثِيل, and those who went to the extreme of تَعْتِيل. فَالْمُمَثِّلَ كُفَّارٌ. Those who make examples and similitudes and likeness, similarities between Allah, the qualities of Allah and the created beings, are disbelievers. وَالْمُعَتِّلَ كُفَّارٌ. And those who negate Allah's sifat that He has affirmed for Himself are also disbelievers. Those who make resemblance between Allah and the creation are disbelievers. And those who negate Allah's sifat that He has affirmed for Himself are also disbelievers. And this is as the Shaykh of Bukhari, Nu'aym ibn Hammad, said, yani, that these people are kuffar. They have gone out of Islam. They have, yani, kafara. Wa ahl sunnah hum alladhina athbatu min ghayri tamthil. But the ahl sunnah are those who affirm what Allah has affirmed for Himself without making examples or similitudes, or similarities, or resemblance between the qualities of Allah and His created beings. أثبتوا صفاته وأسماءه على الوجه اللائق بالله. Yani they have affirmed His sifat and His names, His asma, in a manner that is befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إثباتاً بريئاً من التمثيل. Yani an affirmation that's free of تمثيل. Making examples. وَنَزَّهُهُ عَنْ مُشَابَهَةِ خَلْقِهِ تَنْزِيهًا بَرِيًا مِنَ التَّعْتِيلِ. And they have declared Allah to be free from any resemblance to His creation. A declaration of Allah being free that doesn't entail ta'atil, yani denial Allah's sifat. So they have affirmed for Allah without making tamthil, and they have negated resemblance from Allah to the created beings without making ta'atil. And this is contrary to the mumathila, those who make tamthil. And khilafan lil mu'attila, and also contrary to those who, yani, make ta'atil, negate the meanings of Allah's sifat. Min al jahmiyyah wal mu'tazila wa ashbahihim. Yani from the jahmiyyah and the mu'tazila and those who are similar to them. Then the Shaykh closes by saying, فَيَنْبَغِي بَلْ الْوَاجِبْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ أَنْ يَسْلُكَ هذا المسلك وأن يستقيم ala qawli ahli sunnah. He said, so it is befitting, it is incumbent, it is obligatory upon the believer to travel this path, this road, and to be upright upon the statement or the saying or the position of Ahl Sunnah. Wahum, yani Ahl Sunnah, hum ashab al Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa atba'uhum bi ihsan. And so the Ahl Sunnah, who are they? They are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's a long discussion maybe at the end of this book that we may like look at concerning the any of the errors of people who want to just collectively group everybody who's not Shiite, they're all Ahli Sunnah. The Shaykh is saying here, the Ahli Sunnah are the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and those who followed their way with excellence and who followed them in their way. إِذَا سُئِلْتَ عَنْهُمْ مَنْ هُمْ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ If you ask who is Ahli Sunnah, فَقُلْ هُمْ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأَتْبَاعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ مِنَ التَّابِعِينَ وَأَتْبَاعَ التَّابِعِينَ وَلَأَئِمَّةَ الْأَرْبَعَةِ وَغَيْرُهُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ He said, if you ask who are Ahl al-Sunnah, then say they are the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and those who followed them in excellence from amongst the next generation, the Tabi'een, and the Atba'a Tabi'een, the third generation, who came after the, yani, the generation after the companions, yani, the third generation, and the four Imams, and others from amongst Ahl al-Sunnah. هؤلاء هم أهل السنة والجماعة ومن خالفهم فليس منهم. And this is also a very important statement. يعني, so these are the أهل السنة والجماعة. And whoever opposed them, whoever opposed what the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was upon, and the second generation and the next generation were upon in terms of how they believed and the way that they understood the Quran and the Sunnah, whoever opposed them who came with a different view, then يعني they are not from them فليس منهم even if they are not Shiite. يعني whoever opposed the way of the companions and the first early generations, the pious predecessors, the Salaf al-Sali, then they are not from them. من أثبت ومثل whoever affirms but then makes تمثيل or عطل or negates the meanings of Allah's sifat فهو من أهل البدع then he is from the people of innovation وأهل السنة براء منهم And the people of Sunnah are free and innocent of them. وَفَّقَكَ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا May Allah grant success to all. Yani of the Muslims. Now, so we're going to stop with this. And I'll just allude to a place that anybody can go back to and benefit themselves in the explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah by Al-Imam Sheikh Sal al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. He mentions these ayat of istiwa in a chapter by themselves. Yani he separated from what we read last week. He made this as a separate chapter. He mentioned these seven ayats, and then he commented on a few of those ayats and said the meaning of the rest of them is the same. And then he also mentioned, very importantly, he said that what we benefit from these ayat is the affirmation of Allah's ascending above His arsh in a manner that's befitting of His majesty. And also in these ayat are a refutation against those who gave a different, a distorted, yani meaning to istiwa and said that is istila and al-qahra. And he said that they explained that the arsh means the mulk. And then he yani said that these people are refuted, that what they are saying is false from many angles. And he mentioned four of them. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Uthaymeen mentioned three of them in his summary notes, and I don't have time to read them, but the refutation, he said, is that the basic meaning of it is that they are refuted because what they are saying, that istiwa means istila, yani that istiwa ascension, really what is intended by it is that Allah conquered, that He overcame the mulk, the kingdom, everything that was created. He said that the first refutation of them is that what they are saying is contrary to what the Salaf said, the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Atba' Tabi'un. The second refutation against them, he said, is that their explanation is contrary to the apparent meaning of the text as it came in every ayat in the Quran and as it came in the Sunnah. It didn't come any place as istila, it came istiwa in every place. And the third refutation against them is that it bears false implications. Yani that believing this meaning that they say, that istiwa means istila, the false implication is that the ayat say that Allah created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ, and then he ascended above the arsh. They said that means, and then he conquered, yani the kingdom. The arsh, according to authentic narration from the Prophet ﷺ, was created 50,000 years before Allah created the heavens and the earth. So Allah was unable to conquer the arsh for 50,000 years. He said, this is an implication that is unacceptable. Yani that Allah didn't conquer, as they say, the arsh until 50,000 years after it had been created, when he created the heavens and earth. He said, this is a false implication, and therefore it is rejected. And he said, there are other points of rejection of them. These are just some of them. We're going to stop with this. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Went over a couple of minutes. I just want to notify you that the actual time for the class is 1 hour and 10 minutes. But we try to stick to 1 hour just as a mercy to the old people and the people who work all day. Naam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that He recognize, record, and reward all of our good deeds, that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat ala sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him, and until we leave this world, in a condition in which we are pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant a speedy and complete recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and may He, and He shower those who have passed away with His rahmah, and make their graves spacious, and fill them with light, and protect them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire, and admit them into His paradise. Ameen ya Rab. Inshallah, and for those who are able to stay after the, after we break, inshallah we'll stay for just a few minutes. If there's any questions or any comments or any corrections, inshallah we'll take them. Naam. 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 نعم. يعني sure, it appears as though the meaning of fi here is ala, and that's one of the meanings that's well known, and as you mentioned, yani there are several texts in the Quran and in the Sunnah that clearly indicate the meaning of fi being ala, and that appears to be the meaning here, and Allah knows best. Now, jazakallah khair. Okay. Barakallahu feekum. Okay, so, naam, we are dismissed. Anybody has to go, you are free.